Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Welcome once again. Hey, we're sitting here on a crazy Sunday. Rain, sleet, no hail, bunch of snow sitting out there on the East Coast. It's 10 a.m. on a fine 2015 year, and it's February the 22nd, if I'm not mistaken. And this is the... I think this is the George Washington's birthday, if I'm not mistaken. Official birthday. I know you celebrated President's Day a week ago, on Monday, but it's neither here nor there. As you know, I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and you're listening to The Master Plan. Got a great show in store for you tonight, or today, I should say, talking about the NFL Combine, talking about running backs. So we're going to be talking about, we may sprinkle in a couple of other positions, but they're mainly focused on today is the running backs. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be. Some of these running backs that we're going to be talking about are going to be a focus of you people, you fantasy players, come your fantasy draft time. And I'm going to give you a little statistic that you may not know about, but it's very interesting. And ever since I've been playing in fantasy football, and ever since I've been on the air, I've been telling you over and over and over and over and over, year in and year out, regardless of what the situation or the so-called passing league, it's a quarterback league, that the running back is the key position in fantasy. Trust me when I say that. I've been a staunch supporter of that. I've never drafted a quarterback or a wide receiver, or even a tight end in the first round. And it's not ever going to happen. Staunch supporter is you build your lineup with a stud running back first. And there's some stud running backs in here. And over the last five seasons, starting in 2010, when there was three running backs drafted in the first round. 2011, it was one running back drafted in the first round. 2012, three running backs drafted in the first round. And since this trend happened, that is a quarterback-driven league and it's a passing league, the last two seasons, supposedly, there hasn't been a first-round draft-worthy running back. Well, we know that's wrong because look who's who emerged out of that. How about Le'Veon Bell, for one? He wasn't drafted in the first round. So the 2013 and 2014 season, the last two seasons, there was not a running back. Zero running backs drafted in the first round. So over the last five seasons, seven running backs have been drafted in the first round, and none of those, like I said previously, were drafted in the first round in the last two NFL drafts, 2013, 2014. But I do believe in this draft, there's at least going to be two, could possibly be three running backs drafted in this first round. So, before I get to the NFL combine running backs, let me talk about some running backs that are in the league right now, have had trouble, and it looks like, for all intents and purposes, that they'll be finding a new home in another team. And I'm talking about Ray Rice and AP all day. That's not even talked about. Now, Ray Rice is a free agent, quite naturally. He got released because of the problems he had by the Baltimore Ravens. Adrian Peterson is still under contract with one season left with the Minnesota Vikings. He's due a big salary hit on the in Minnesota Vikings, I think he's doing about $15 million for one season. And he's going to be a 30-year-old running back. But it's AP. And there's reports are saying that he is not happy in the way the Minnesota Vikings treated him this past season when he had his legal problems. And he may be looking to find a new spot to play in. Possible new spot. Hey, he's from Texas. Could be Dallas. How about Indianapolis? Those are two logical spots. But the only way that the Minnesota Vikings are going to get rid of AP is if they trade him. Now, like I said, he's got a big salary that's due that would cause a few teams to take a big salary cap hit on the because of his salary, unless he's going to renegotiate and that'd be part of the deal, renegotiate it once he gets to the new team. Don't know. But those two landing spots are a possibility because DeMarco Murray. Now, it can wait this two ways. DeMarco Murray is a free agent that had his best year of his career. And that he possibly move on, or they find a way to keep DeMarco Murray along with Dez Bryant. It's going to be tough to do. The Dallas Cowboys don't have a lot of salary cap space. And I'm looking up the salary cap right now as we speak, so I can give you an accurate analysis of this. Dallas Cowboys have they have a little more than $17 million in cap space. Yes, they have a little bit more than $17 million in cap space. They're on the lower end. Well, they're approximately in the middle of the 32 teams that are dealing with cap. New Orleans Saints are the worst with minus $23 million. And Patriots are next after that, but by a huge margin between the Saints. $5 million. So New Orleans Saints have spent a lot, and they're going to be suffering for a little bit. Top cap guys, top teams that have quite a bit of cap space. Let me just give you the top five, and it happened to be five teams that have the worst record. The Jacksonville Jaguars are at the top with almost $61 million in cap space, followed by the Oakland Raiders, who have approximately $49.5 million in cap space. Cleveland Browns have approximately $49 million in cap space. And I'm just rounding these figures off depending on where they're at, if they're higher or lower than their higher and lower than their respective numbers. Jets are right in the middle, about $48.5 million in cap space, and rounded off with the number five team that's got some cap space. I mean, these other teams have cap space, but I'm giving you the top five. And about $41.5 million, the Tennessee Titans. Five of the worst teams in the NFL. Should be pretty active in the free agent market, especially in key positions as in quarterback or in running back or in wide receiver. All these teams have those specific needs among offensive, defensive help. But I'm talking about the strictly skill positions and like the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. Those teams are in need of at least one of those positions, if not multiple positions. I know the Oakland Raiders definitely need help on the offensive side in the wide receiver position. Cleveland Browns, the same. The Jets, the same. The Titans, the same. And possibly a running back. They have a... They'll be bringing back a second-year running back, but he wasn't too impressive. So they may be looking for running back help there. And then you get two teams that are 6-7, been very prudent with their money. I'm talking about the Indianapolis Colts and Cincinnati Bengals. Indianapolis Colts got approximately $38 million in cap space, and the Cincinnati Bengals have $35 million. Going to be very active. It should be very active. And possibly trying to grab a free agent running back. So those with free agent running backs that are going to be looking for contracts, if their team doesn't franchise tag them or give them a well enough offer that they'd be able to keep them, these teams are going to be very aggressive, and quite naturally, I would be too. And grabbing some free agent running backs, or even grabbing a running back that can push them over the top. Now, if it was me, if I was Indianapolis, I'd do everything I could possibly do. You can go one of two ways. Take a chance on a rookie with potential of these running backs that I'm going to talk about that are coming from the NFL Combine. Or you could do this. You could go for a known commodity. Go for a running back that you know is a top flight running back, such as an AP, and do a trade with the Minnesota Vikings. I'm talking about the Indianapolis Colts and the Vikings. Or there's a Justin Forsett sitting out there, due to go to free agent market. There's a possibly a Ray Rice that you may want to take a chance on. DeMarco Murray that is possibly hitting the free agent market if the Dallas Cowboys don't do anything before March 10th, which is where the free agents can start signing, the teams can start going after free agents. And you'd have to think that some of these teams that have a lot of cap space are really going to look into one of these running backs. Because, like I said, and I keep on saying it over and over again, that the running back is the foundation of your offense. And it's proven, even though not in this Super Bowl, and you always say they're copycat league, which they are. Teams are definitely copycat leagues. And I would have to say that it's a strong possibility that one of these two running backs that I've been talking about are going to find a new home. I just got to believe that. Got to believe that. I'm trying to find out why. I don't know what happened here, but we'll go this route. That's just what my thinking here is, right off the top of my head. Now I want to get into these running backs. I want to go this route. I want to go to. Number 10. Let's start from number 10. Okay? And we'll start with number 10, who I have sitting here as Jarvis Langford. Let's start with him. 6 foot, 208 pounds from the Michigan State University. Like this kid a lot. Ran a 4.42, fastest time of the running backs. Like I said, 6 foot, 208 pounds. He's played as wide receiver and at cornerback at Michigan State, along with running back. Has burst around the corner. I'm reading from an analysis here. Can separate from linebackers in pursuit. Finished 2014 with 22 carries of 50-plus yards. And that placed him fifth in running back heavy running backs in the Big Ten in that category. He does have blocking and pass-catching talent to play on third down, maintain balance through contact, and he can also play he also played special teams when he was a sophomore. But he's not a physical runner, and that's fine. There's a lot of good backs that aren't physical runners. Maybe not a strong in-between-the-tackles type of runner. And the type of guy that likes to take things to the outside and use his speed from the outside. Type of runner he may be compared to is a Donald Brown. But I think because this guy is, I think he can be better than Donald Brown. Quite naturally, he's going to improve himself once he gets into the league. But he's my number 10 back that I'm looking at right now. Could be just a third down back and could progress into a three down back. Let's move on to the next guy that we're going to be talking about. Number 9. This guy I like. I had mentioned him a few times on the FSP show, which is on 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time last week, and also this week, talking about David Cobb. Who disappointed me in his 40 time. I didn't expect to get a 4.81. 5'11", 229 pounds. He's a powerful, compact runner, which I thought. Makes decisive moves. Makes defenders miss, and is not taken down by arm tackles. Close to over 50% of his yards were after contact in 2013-2014. He's a patient runner and has good speed in open field for a back his size, but 4.81 troubles me. And his weaknesses is just that. Not a stop start runner. Lacks dynamic qualities. Gets yards on his plate and what he grinds up for after contact. Lacks lateral quickness. To balance runs outside with consistent success in the NFL. Maybe have some fumbling issues. 4 of 6 games in the middle of the 2014, he fumbled. Like I had said yesterday, and I'm saying it again today, most of these guys coming into the league need work on their pass protection. And that's one of the biggest things for running backs that, excuse me, coming into the league lack. And that's the besides their running ability, their lack of how to pass protect is another factor that will keep them on the sidelines versus getting on the field. Being a three down back because of their lack of commitment to the passing game and being able to protect the quarterback. He's one of these guys. And it can hurt him. Needs to go to a team with a strong running back position coach to teach him the way. And But I like this guy a lot. I really like this guy a lot, and I think he's NFL ready. I don't know if he's going to get drafted in the first round, but he is a guy that you should be on your radars, especially. You could be picking him up depending on what team he goes to. And this is a strong thing. Depending on what some of these teams and where he goes to, depends on what kind of opportunity they're going to have. The top two guys, top three guys, quite naturally, are going to have more of an opportunity because that's why they're drafted so high versus these guys that are going to go in the later rounds. I'm talking about the third, fourth, fifth, and fifth rounds. Not to say that they can't excel and do what they need to do to get on the field and play on a regular basis. It's just the fact is that the higher your seed, the more of a chance that you have, and the team that more needy drafts you that high to get you the running back on the field. So we've gone over the first two guys, which was Jeremy Langford, fastest time, and Minnesota David Cobb, who gave us one of the slowest times as running back. Now we're going to another guy that I think got a good shot of getting into the onto the field, and that's running back Mike Davis. Nice size guy, well, small guy, Ray Rice type of guy. Let me put it that way. And on Alfred Morris type of guy, 5'9", 217 pounds, ran a 4.61 40. Now, as I was talking yesterday, we went off the air at the FSP show, these running backs, the overall class of running backs, follow me here. I like this class of running backs. I think there's at least two running backs, more than likely three running backs that could go in the first round. But I'm gonna I say that, and then I'm gonna also say that their times haven't impressed me. I've been disappointed in their times, and a lot of teams look at these running backs, especially some of that. They may have thought they could run a little quicker and give a slow 40 time. May push them down on their list of running backs or the need for a running back. And may not draft them in the first round. Now, there's 40 speed and there's game speed. Some of these guys, I'm not saying all of them, some of these guys may play quicker come game time on the field than they do on a straight line 40 time. Quicker feet, lateral movement, quickness through a hole, quickness around the edge, and then it takes them a little longer to transition to the top speed once they get around the edge or through the hole. Just like Jerry Rice, he didn't have a great 40 time, but his game speed was a lot very deceptive. Could happen here with these running backs. That's what I'm saying. This guy, I like him. Compact frame. And he's a balanced runner. Can keep his feet moving in traffic. And a lot of these young back run smallest backs, 5'9", smallest backs, and these big linemen or linebackers can pinball in between defenders, keep their pads low, and can pinball in between the defenders. And he's shows surprising top-end speed to hit the long run, and that's what I'm talking about. He's got a quality stiff arm, so he's strong and can, but he needs time to get going. Let me put it that way. Has some hip tightness. One of his weaknesses has some hip tightness. Excuse me. One of his weaknesses is he has some hip tightness, which quite naturally, when you move him from side to side, your lateral movement is going to limit you. Because, and with that being said, he is not a wiggle guy. He can't wiggle or juke to make defenders miss. So, he's one of these type of guys that needs to get constant work. You can't run him in and out of hand. A lot of these teams with running back by committee. This is one of these backs, and I've talked about this before. This is one of these backs that they get better at the flow of the game. They get into more of the flow of the game. They get into the rhythm of the game, and he gets plenty of work. This is the type of guy that when that happens, he gets a feel for how things are flowing, and he gets better as the game wears on. One of these type of runners, strong possibility. This is probably third round pick, somewhere in the third round. That's where I'm projecting this guy to go. Let's move on to the next prospect that we have here. And this other guy here, now, this guy disappointed me. I thought he'd be doing a lot better. 5'9", 194 pounds. I would think that Amir Abdullah from the University of Nebraska would turn in a real nice 40 time. And he disappointed me. I'm looking for somewhere in the 4.5s, somewhere in there, mid 4.5s. That's what I was looking for. And what I got was a 4.60. Now, it's not terrible, but to me, that's disappointing because I'm expecting something better than that. Now, he was the first running back at Nebraska to record 100-plus yards rushing in his first five starts. 5'9", 205 pounds. Now, like I said, this is the type of guy. Some people equate him to an Andre Ellington type of guy. It's on the lower side of the height for running back, 5'9". Not bad, but it's not. I would say smallish, but compact. Decisive runner with good lower body drive, and most of the time these running backs that are smaller are very compact, and their lower body is what really sets them apart from other running backs, and he has a willingness to run behind the pass. He's a pretty good finisher, and he is a guy that if you're on defense, you got to respect the fact that if he gets around the corner, he can get the top end speed pretty quickly. Patient runner with plus vision. He can also play special teams as a punt or kick returner. And like I had stressed before, he lacks ideal size that teams look out for a three down back. And he's 5'9", 205 pounds. He may be able to put another 5 pounds on that. I don't know how much that's going to affect him. And he needs to work on his pass protection. Like all of these are solid things. But the fact is, over the 4 years that he's played for the University of Nebraska, he's fumbled 13 times. High character guy, but ball security and his size may uh, hold them back from being a three-down back. Maybe a change of pace or a running back coming out of the backfield catching the ball. But definitely a high character guy here. One of the best character guys in the of the probably the combine and especially the running backs. Let's move on to number six. And before I do that, let me take the time here to go to a commercial break, and then we will be right back.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Hello? I can't hear nothing.
Welcome, Miguel. How you doing, my man? How you feel?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Not much. I've been talking about running backs, man. An NFL combine. I don't know if you've been watching any of it, but we've been the quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers was yesterday. Linebackers and defensive linemen or today. Have you been watching any of it, or you call in because you want to talk about this Pacquiao and Mayweather?
You know what? Why'd you even ask? Why'd you even ask? Yesterday I called. I was like, oh, okay, they talking about the combine. I'm going to call tomorrow.
Yes, sir, people.
Yes,
sir, people. For those that don't know, let me inform you that the long-awaited Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather bout is going to go down on May 2nd of this year. This is second-to-last fight that Floyd Mayweather is going to have. It's going to be on. I'm trying to think, when is it? Cinco de Mayo? Am I right about that?
Yeah, the weekend. Yeah, the weekend for Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, exactly. Tell you the truth, I'm pretty excited about this one. This is off the charts here. It's going to be huge payday. It's going to be at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Floyd Mayweather's hometown. Supposed to be, if I'm not mistaken, is $215 million or something like that. $250 million, I should say, not $215 million. It's about to go down, people. It's a long waiting, and I just can't wait to see Well, I can't wait to hear what you think about this. The expected cost for pay-per-view is
$89.
$89. Well, I'm going to say $90 because it's $89.95. So you might as well say it's $90. $10 more
bucks.
For and wait a minute, and probably $10 more for high definition. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Well, I jumped out of what I was talking about, and I'm jumping into this. Talk to me. You're a box fan just like I am, and you're not a Pacquiao
I'm
fan
fine.
Just like I'm not. And we're going to finally get this done and stop all the naysayers and the I'm going to say stop all the naysayers that Floyd can't beat Pacquiao. I'm just saying stop all the naysayers on that, but you're right. We're not going to stop all the negative thoughts and comments people have about Mayweather. And if you listened yesterday, we had talked about this briefly because quite naturally your cousin, who's a Pacquiao lover, still thinks Pacquiao's going to beat him. But I want to get your thoughts on this up-and-coming fight, which is more than 3 months away. Talk to me.
I mean, you know how I feel about Mayweather. He's just going to beat him. He's going to beat him. I mean, and it's not even going to be close. I had to back up all. I mean, I know I said before if they got into a fight that Mayweather would knock him out. I got to kind of back up off that. Mayweather's not knocking people out. But he is definitely going to take that dude to school. Absolutely going to take him to school. The only issue that could give him an issue is, you know, Mayweather's had problems with left-handers before.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, those left-handers were – incredibly better boxers than Pacquiao ever is. I mean,
right.
Pacquiao absolutely has no defense for anything to tell. I don't understand it. I mean, I'm just looking at him and I'm like, okay. I mean, and I can see why he's beating a lot of dudes, and I can understand why. But also, Pacquiao hasn't fought a lot of orthodox fighters. And the more orthodox the fighter is, the more problems they give him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or the more technically skilled they are, the more problems they have. If he gets in there with someone that likes to brawl and wreck, that's tailor-made right up his alley. You know, that's all good for him, but it's going to be a problem for him with Mayweather. He's always had a problem with the counter, and Mayweather's the best at the counter. So I can't see how these people are looking at this and saying Pacquiao's going to win. I mean, you know, I mean, you could just tell that they just don't know what they're looking at. They really
right.
don't. They don't really understand. They need somebody to slow down the fight, put it in slow motion, and show you what's going on. That's what people like my cousin need, because he can't see it. He just absolutely cannot see it. I have never seen anybody with a defense like Mayweather. I haven't ever seen it. Never. I wouldn't put Mayweather. I don't like this thing he's saying. The best ever. I don't like that because, I mean, Mayweather ain't even in my top 25, for real. You want to get serious with it. He's not even in my top 25, but is he the best today? Yeah, he's the best today. He should change that TBE from the best ever to the best today. TBT, something like that. But, Pacquiao, I got a lot of respect for him. I think he got a lot of heart, but He not going to win this fight. He is not going to win this fight.
You know, I don't know, and you touched on it. I don't know if it's they think that Pacquiao is a better boxer or they just don't like Floyd and think this is the best chance.
They just don't like Floyd.
They think this is the best chance of Floyd losing his title and losing all the swag that he puts out there. But that's not going to happen.
No.
And
you hit it. I mean, they just don't like Floyd. You know, they okay with all these other white men making millions and millions of dollars off of all these boxes, but they just don't like Mayweather. You know what I mean? So they just okay with the status quo and just talking silly, and you know it's just ridiculous. And then he keeps showing you. He keeps showing you. He showed you again who had the power in this fight. He showed you. He showed you. He made them wait a whole another 2 or 3 days while these clouds was leaking everything. They kept leaking everything. Every day you would come back on there and they were leaking. And then it got quiet for like, you know, like about a week, right? Then he came out and said it. I was like, wow. Wow.
He's his best promoter, man. I'm telling you, besides being able to work his magic in the ring, he works his magic outside the ring to the general public and to the media. So he has an extremely smart money team that drives this, and with a huge payday coming on May 2nd, and all the and to shut up all the Pacquiao supporters in the same breath. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
You know what they're gonna say. You know what they're gonna say after he wins.
What's that?
They're gonna say first one is gonna be like, well, if he'd afford him in his prime, that's gonna be the first one.
I'm thinking about
second
I was just
one is gonna be. Second one is gonna be. I didn't see him win that fight. I didn't see him win that fight, which is going to cause them to fight again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like he did to Maidana joint, because he just absolutely beat the hell out of Maidana on both of them fights. I mean, he was making Maidana miss like crazy, and he just I just couldn't watch no more. I was just like, man, this dude is just serving this dude up. I can't watch this. But that's what's going to happen with this fight. They're going to say that. They're going to say, he made everybody wait way too long for this boring fight. Because the more boring the fight going to be, the better the fight going to be for Mayweather.
Well, let me ask you something. You brought up something very interesting. Mayweather's only got two fights. And May 2nd is the next-to-last fight that he's supposed to have. And then quite naturally, more than likely, he's going to have one sometime in September. That's usually his modus operandi, that he has one in May, around 2nd de Mayo, and he has one in September. Jumping on what you had mentioned briefly, I don't know if you realize what you said, that they have a Pacquiao fight, Pacquiao 1, and then to end his career, he have a Pacquiao 2 to close it out. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't think Pacquiao is going to win, but they're going to say the same things that they said, you know, in the Castillo fight and in this last Maidana fight. I didn't see him win. That's what they're going to say. I didn't see him win. And then they're going to fight again. And then they're going to fight again.
Because you're probably right, because I can't see anybody else who's viable out there right now that Floyd would want to fight to close out his career, other than Pacquiao again, to prove people once and for all. I beat him once. I'm giving him a chance to beat me before I finally leave the boxing world, and he still couldn't beat me. Now, let me ask you this now, and this is another scenario, and I'm just laying it out there. I think you know where I'm going, that suppose he loses on May 2nd, and then wants a rematch before he leaves. You think Pacquiao is going to give it to him, or he's going to play like Floyd played?
I put it to you like this. Have you seen the Forbes highest paid athletes in the world? Have you seen that list?
Can't say I have, but I think you're going to tell me who is on top.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you who's not on that list. On the top 25 highest paid athletes in the world, Manny Pacquiao is not on that list. Do I think he'll take another fight? He will take another fight. That's the thing that kept pissing me off about this whole thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Manny Pacquiao is having financial problems. He's having financial issues. He's got the tax man coming at him. He got all kind of bills he's trying to pay and trying to keep up with. You know what I'm saying? If he wins this fight, he absolutely will do a rematch. He absolutely will do a rematch. Even if he lose this fight, he going to want a rematch. Either way, it's already set up for him. He got no other choice.
Well, some people tell me this, that Manny Pacquiao is fighting for money for his country.
Bullshit. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. That came from your. I think it came from your cousin telling me that he.
My cousin don't know his head from his ass. He don't. I love him dearly. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I love
mm-hmm.
him so much, but he don't know his head from his ass. Your man, look, his man is in financial turmoil.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you one thing. That dude Bob Arum, he is a sneaky smart dude.
Yeah.
He's a sneaky smart dude. Just how he presented this whole mess. He kept Pacquiao clean. Now I'm gonna tell you the thing that's gonna happen to Pacquiao that everybody thinks is going to happen to Mayweather. Manny Pacquiao is going to fall into financial ruin. Even after this fight, all the things that everybody thinks that would happen to somebody like Mayweather is going to happen to Pacquiao. Mayweather's not going to fall like that. I wouldn't be surprised if Mayweather. I don't know because there's a lot of jockeying going on in the boxing community right now. You got, of course, you still got Top Rank and Golden Boy. And you had Jay-Z and then Roc Nation trying to take over a promotion company, but they tried to take over Shaw Promotion Company, but they ultimately failed. But they still in the game because they signed Andre Ward, so I don't know how that's gonna work out. And now you're gonna have Mayweather pretty soon, because what's the guy Schaefer from? He left Golden Boy.
Okay.
And the talk is that he's gonna be working with Mayweather Promotion. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Mayweather Promotion start getting up there. And then also, it's going to be more boxing on NBC now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. The Harvard-educated black man that's in control of Floyd Mayweather's business affairs.
Okay.
That guy, Al Haymon, that guy everybody speak about when they be thanking, but you don't ever see
right.
That dude. He just struck up a deal with NBC it's going to be more boxing on NBC's, on their sports channels.
Right.
They're going to be doing a lot more. They're going to be doing a lot more there. A lot, because he's got a lot of fighters. He's got a lot of fighters. I don't even understand how he has so many fighters, but he's not, you know, he's not a promoter and he's not a, he's not a promoter, not anything. He's just business manager. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Wow. So.
But nah. Victor don't know what he's talking about.
And Floyd's going to get 60%, Matty gets 40%. And you mean to tell me this thing is probably going to generate over $200 million of pay-per-view revenue, and probably the all-time gate record is $20
million.
Mm-hmm. So you know that it's going to exceed that. So Manny Pacquiao's in for a big payday, and you still think he's going to have issues after this?
Yeah. He got issues now.
Okay.
He got issues now. He needed this fight.
Right.
And that's why I said your man is real smart. He real smart. He put this joint in the public eye like Floyd needed this fight. Like Floyd was the one running. Like Floyd was the problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? And They put it in a way that it was like Pacquiao should be the A side, and I just kept looking at it. I was like, are you serious? And see and God bless my cousin. He fell for it. He fell for it. He always fall for it. He fall for it. He don't know. I mean, you could take a horse down to the river, but you know they just don't know their way to it. You know, they just don't know they their way to the water, man.
All right. Well, it's been nice talking to you, man. About near the end of the show, before we close this thing out, you got something you want to push out there before we walk away?
Just want to say I told you this fight was going to get it in. And, man, don't listen to my cousin. He don't know what he's talking about. Remember the time we chopped up Too Sharp? I mean, I liked the dude. I used to like him when he was boxing. But when Victor came back on here and was like, what's the name? Disagree with you or whatever. And I was like, oh, man, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Right.
All right, dude. Take it easy.
All right, man. No
He's
problem. Same to you, my man. And a happy
and
belated
thank
birthday,
you, man.
All right?
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks.
Yep. You guys take care of yourself. Thanks, people, for listening. Go to the archives to catch us back there and all the other programs that we have. Catch me again next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking about the NFL draft that's going to be talked about up until it happens come the late part of April. We're out of here. See ya.